fine. If you're ready, let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. And let's stand, all right, as we read this today. We're going to deal with the disciple and his marriage. Let's read the two verses together. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. Ready? One, two, begin. He has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Let's have a little prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this can be a sensitive topic, but yet, Lord, it was dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ as he taught what it meant to live according to the righteousness of God. So, Father, I pray as your children who love you, we ask you to open our hearts to receive this truth into our hearts. For someone here who have never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, I ask you to open their heart and mind, Lord, to the righteousness of God and then to the love of Christ, that they might be able to see how, Lord, you design all your word to protect the families, the people in this world. But sin wants to push us out. So, Lord, I pray, speak to us even as we seek to be your disciples who love you. That, Lord, even in this area of our families and marriage, we'll be strong. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, for those who just joined us, we have been going through a whole series on a journey of a disciple, looking at Matthew chapter 5 to 7. I hope as Jesus deals with the various areas, we'll take it seriously too, because God's will is for us to live according to the righteousness of God. Okay? Okay, last week, the Lord Jesus taught on the truth. All right, if you just look a little bit up the verses, I'll just summarize it. Jesus taught that the thought or intention of doing wrong is just as sinful as the act itself. All right, Jesus said, whoso looketh on a woman and to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. All right, so the Lord Jesus Christ, citing the righteousness of God, if you look at a lady and wants to sleep with her, Jesus said, you have already sinned with her. All right, it doesn't have to, and some of them didn't even do the act. All right, but as long as it happens in your heart, Jesus says, that is the righteousness of God. We have sinned. Okay, so that was what Jesus taught last in the Bible, the last verses that we dealt with. Now, from here, Jesus wanted to deal with the whole area of divorce itself. Okay, and this is, and you know, as I look at this, Lord, there's a lot of young people, and then they're just married and they're happy and all that. Lord, of course, we may have friends. We may have people who have gone through this terrible thing, and yet sometimes we don't know how to comfort them. And hopefully, through what's going to be taught today, but from God's word, we'll understand and know that it's actually, in the eyes of God, a terrible thing, all right? So, but Jesus wanted to address something in society during that time, and I will explain that as I go along. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 31, our passage for today, Jesus said, it has been said. In other words, this was taught by the rabbis. This was given even in the Bible in the Old Testament. Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a bill, a writing of divorcement. In other words, if you want to leave your wife, just give her a writing of divorcement. That was what was taught. The rabbis taught it that if you want to divorce your wife, just put away your wife, just go through the procedures and give her the writing of divorcement. The writing was given in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 1. Okay, if you look there, for those who just joined us, it's actually we actually print out the verses also in the bulletin, but you can turn there. In the Old Testament, God put it for the Jewish society. He says, whosoever, in Deuteronomy 24, when a man had taken a wife and married her, it came to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it into her hand and send her out of the house. And when she is departed out of the house, she may go and be another man's wife. Many of the Jewish men during that time, if you read some of the historical accounts, abused this loophole. abused the loophole. Why do I say a loophole? The Bible says that when she found some uncleanness in her, the problem was the Jewish men were separating from their wives for minor problems. Example, my wife is not as pretty anymore. Or, she burned my dinner. You can read the Jewish Mishnah or the Talmud or some of the historical account. Or the man can just say, she doesn't please me anymore. Deuteronomy 24:1, if I find that she had no favor in my eyes, I just give her the bill of divorcement and she can leave. All right? So that was, and by the way, the woman had no say in the Old Testament. The woman had no say in those situations. It can be also that she goes, oh, she insulted me. And that was enough for the man to put the wife away. Do you know, during that time, I'll give you a little bit of the background. It's interesting. Before the man and the wife, get married, they are supposed to do this thing called the kadaba. The kadaba is a prenuptial agreement whereby, in the event of a death or divorce, the man is supposed to pay 100 to 200, 300 pieces of silver, equivalent to tens of thousands of dollars, and she can put the woman away. Okay? So the man did that. And you know, the man actually, it was actually a financial loss for the man if he leaves the wife. But because men's heart was so hardened, they don't care. I don't care even if I lose $1 million. I just want to get rid of her. The hardness of man's heart. I will come back to that again because Jesus mentioned that in the New Testament. So the man who did that was told that it was okay to just go ahead and leave your wife. Just do the necessary. Just go to the law court. Just give the money, just sign the papers. In fact, the kadaba is actually not an easy thing. I'll describe later. But before that, I'll let you know what does God think about divorce. And I want us as Christians, Brother Johnny, I'm very young, so I don't have to learn this. Yes, you do. Because if you're not married, you better understand what God thinks about divorce. All right? I'll give you three things that the Bible says. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. Number one, God hates divorce. He hates it with a passion. He hates it. He hates it with his soul. Okay? The Bible is very clear on that. He hates putting away because one covereth violence with this garment. You know why? Because men oftentimes get a divorce not because of something in the woman, because they want to do what they want to do. And the Bible says they cover violence with a garment. In other words, they try to cover up what they are doing with a garment by divorce. Okay? And so the rest of the verse says, therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. And that's a very important principle for young men. Don't cheat. You know, those who want to get in a relationship, out of the relationship, in a relationship, out of the relationship, in a relationship, out of the relationship, you better be careful of that, because what you're doing is cheating that person. You are kissing, you are touching someone who is not going to be your wife. Many times it's happened in a lot of relationships, so-called, before marriage today. Young people get in and out. It's very sad. I was dealing with a situation whereby I was a pastoral staff, but I wasn't a pastor yet. There was this 14-year-old girl who was expecting. 14 years old. But thank God the pastor was very clear, no abortion. She was put to a place whereby there's a shelter that they take care of until the child gave birth. When the 14-year-old teenager gave birth, they put up the child for adoption. 1 month later, she was with another guy. You're cheating. That's why God says, don't you dare cheat the person. Okay? So firstly, God hates divorce, number one. Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, the second point. Wherefore, they are no more twin but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder. When God put two persons together in marriage, no one should even think about separating them. That is God's principle. Number three, Romans 7 verse 2 says, for the woman which had an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. Or if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Marriage is literally till death do you part. Literally. It's not till love do us part. It's not till the house, or if not till the guy is a bankrupt, so I don't like him anymore, so I leave. No, it's literally for for better or for worse, for sickness, in sickness and in health, is till death do you part. If those who are not married, you better remember these three. Those who are married, you better remember these three too. Okay? Notice what Jesus said after he said the rabbis taught this. When the rabbis taught this, the Jewish people take it as, okay, Lord, if I don't like the person, I just have to go through the procedure of separating from this lady. I make a very interesting comment. Let me read what Jesus said first. After I make a comment about this, it's very interesting as you study that. In Matthew 5:31, Jesus said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Sorry, it has been said. That's what the rabbis taught. But Jesus said, I say unto you. This is what Jesus said. This is the righteousness of God. This is what God meant. This is what is God's intention for people as Christians in this world, okay? Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Think about this verse. Whosoever, Jesus was addressing the man. Jesus was addressing the man. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except for the reason of fornication, cause her to commit adultery. Stop and think what Jesus is saying. If a man put away his wife, he causes her to commit adultery. That's what Jesus said. That is the righteousness of God. And whosoever marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Let me read the next verse, Mark chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. Then I'll summarize what Jesus teaching on this is. This is so important. In Mark chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, Jesus said, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Luke 16, verse 18. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marries another, committeth adultery. Whosoever marrieth her that is put away from the husband, committeth adultery. The man who initiates a divorce is in sin. That's what Jesus said. If I put away my wife, I'm causing her to commit adultery. I'm initiating divorce. I sin against God. Number two, the wife that is put away marry another, she commits adultery, and the man also commits adultery. Both of them are in sin. There are no winners in the case of divorce as far as the righteousness of God is concerned. Oh, Christian, take this to your heart. There are many people who have a lot of reasons why divorce can be done. In the mind of God, when Jesus taught it, he was covering the loophole that society was giving to men. Just have a bill of divorcement. You can do. No, Jesus says, you put away your wife, number one, you commit adultery. If you're a wife, you want to put away your husband, you initiate it, you commit adultery. And very clear, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. That is sin. No, I was wrestling with this a whole week. I realized what Jesus was saying. When a man initiates divorce, he causes her to sin. When another marries the lady, she commits adultery. When another lady marries the man who divorced his wife, when another lady marries the man who has left his wife, commits adultery. So the man who initiates divorce sins because he causes the lady to commit adultery, and the woman that is let go marries another, commits adultery. The initiator, Jesus actually said this, it is beyond comprehension. Jesus says, if I as a man put away my wife, I am causing her to commit adultery. I sin because I'm the perpetrator. She is in sin because of me. Any questions? This is from the lips of our Savior. That's the righteousness of God. You know, it's very interesting as I was studying. You know, the Jewish, in the Jewish law, even up to today, if two couples who are Jewish get divorced in a civil court, it is not recognized. It's not recognized by the Jewish spiritual leaders because they believe when God put men together, it is one forever. So the divorce in Singapore, if you apply that, you can write the bill of divorcement and have the paper in Singapore. God doesn't recognize it. You are still married. Young people, Brother Johnny, I'm not married lah. This one very sian. You teach me. You better make sure you know. Because later on, I'm going to teach you how to make sure you don't get into this kind of trouble. Jesus was addressing a loophole of the selfishness and the lusts of the Pharisees and the men in those days. And I can tell you today, 150 years ago, divorce was 1 in 100. Today is one in three. Singapore statistics, 27,000 out of 27,000, 9,000 end up in divorce. 1 in 3. Christians are not spared. You know why? Satan hates God's family. And he wants to destroy every family possible. When Jesus raised the bar, he says, look, that's why we need God. We need God in our relationship. We need God as the foundation of every family. Jesus raised the bar on the whole Jewish society because everyone was divorcing left, right, and center and think that it's okay. Jesus is saying, no, God says it's not okay. It's not okay when you break up a husband and a wife. It is not okay. When the children have to look at their father and mother and see them 2 days a week, 5 days, it is not okay. It is not okay. And Jesus had to deal with this in a society that takes women for granted. And today, it is women who takes men for granted. I have been in counseling sessions where women had thrown alarm clock at the husband. Now, praise God, the woman got saved in the end. You know, when Jesus gave those laws, he wasn't just looking at society, he was looking ahead to the immorality and the problems of society even today. You know, 50 years ago, when your divorce is a shameful thing, yes, today, it's just normal. Some people believe that you just can't take it anymore, you just leave, you know. You know, if God hates divorce, then a very real question comes out. If God hates divorce, then why did he put Deuteronomy 24 verse 1? It's written in the Bible. I struggle with that. God, you said this. Why are you putting this in? Jesus answered their question. In Matthew chapter 19 verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Why? If you say cannot, then why? You know what Jesus says? He says, Matthew 8, 19, verse 8, he says unto Moses, he says unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, allowed you to put away your wives. It wasn't God's intention. Christians, I want you to listen to the heart of God. Don't listen to, oh, it is given so I can do it. Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. If you only know the part that gives you the convenient way out, you have a hardened heart against God. That's what Jesus was pointing out. Jesus said, Moses allowed that because of the hardness of your heart. You were stubborn against God. You were rebelling against God. That's why God had no choice but to protect the woman. But even after that was given, men still want to get out because they were stubborn. They were not right with God. You know what? If you initiate divorce, you're not right with God. And I'll show you why. Because the righteousness of God is always reconciliation. I'll deal with that later. So he says, Jesus actually says in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 8, because of the hardness of your heart, allow him to, but from the beginning, it was not so. It was never God's intention. It will never be God's intention. It will never be God's intention. Because God knows that Satan is after every family. And he wants to destroy husband and wife. From the beginning. Those who are not married, If you don't walk with God's word right now, you are sowing seeds of distrust that when you are taken into the marriage, Satan begins to then tear. All right? I'll deal with that later. There's so many things. I don't want you to just hear this part. I want you to hear that God actually has a plan to make sure that doesn't happen. All right? So in verse 19, whosoever shall possess his wife, except it be for the case of fornication, shall marry another. Some people may ask, Brother Johnny, that means if my wife is unfaithful to me, you might have a reason. Let me say this. God gives that as a reason that you may, because of the pain in your heart, say, I cannot stand this guy, I got to leave. But it's not a commandment. The reason why you would want a divorce is because you have hardened your heart against God's righteousness. Because in any, I want to deal with this delicately, because in my mind, I don't believe anyone who has gone through the pain of an adulterous relationship, that you know that that man or that woman has been unfaithful to you, that you can ever stand that person. Things change. The whole picture changes. And by the way, two things for that. Number one, the only reason that you can even vaguely, remotely consider a divorce is when there's unfaithfulness. And even that, God didn't say that you can. He didn't give it as a commandment. But God is saying this. You know, God is saying this. If you have gone through the pain of an adultery, your spouse have done that. I understand the pain you go through. And that might be a reason that you can use for separation. But other than that, there is no reason under heaven that no one has a right to divorce. That's what Jesus is teaching. I'm not binding you. That's what Jesus has taught. You read the scriptures again and again. Do you know why God is permitting this? He's not saying, go ahead and do it. Nah? He just said that might be a reason. You know, because all of us, many times, commit spiritual adultery against God. We are supposed to be one heart, one mind with God. But we love the things of this world. And God calls us in James chapter 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. God's pattern is that he could have put us away. Yes? He did not. Those who read the book of Hosea will realize one of the most fantastic love stories in the Bible. God told Hosea, I want you to go and marry a prostitute. A prophet marrying a prostitute. This prostitute is going to play the harlot with every man. But at the end of that, you know what God did? You know how painful it is for a husband to know that your wife is sleeping with every man outside? You know what God told Hosea? I want you to bring her back. Say, what? That's not possible. Of course it's not. Only with God. God used that to show the pain in his heart, but to show that his love is greater. That no matter how much how far we've gone from God, he still wants us back as a Christian. Okay? There was a man, you know, the people who may have adultery in mind, or rather, you have known of friends who know of other people who commit adultery and say, well, it's so painful, I'm not going to have it back. There was a man I know, not personally, I know him about 20 years ago. The story was told that he committed adultery. He's a Christian, by the way. Every man in this room, is susceptible to that, including myself. The man thinketh his standards, let him take heed, lest he fall. Don't ever think, oh no, Pastor Johnny, I can tahan one. The moment you say you can tahan, that's pride. You'll fall. It's better to say, God, I can't. I need your help to sustain and protect me. God will do that. There was this man who fallen into sin, confessed to his wife. Can you imagine how broken the wife is? Jack Neal? Michael Palmer? All these people who have to leave because These are all public examples. You know how painful it is for the wife? But you know what? Thankfully for this particular man, confessed his sin, it was 20 years ago. Today, they're reconciled with the husband and wife. He's actively serving the Lord. And they are pressing on. With God, everything is possible. With God, it's possible. So what do we do to avoid this problem? What do we do to avoid this problem? I want you to take note of five things to avoid, those who are not married, to avoid this problem. Remember, divorce, initiating divorce is sin. Marrying someone else who's divorced is sin. No one wins, by the way. It's sin. It can be forgiven, but it is sin. You know why Jesus said that? You know, I when I look at that, if a man put away his wife, causes her to commit adultery is sin, right? So it's sin. So how do we prevent that from happening? Number one, all of us need to go back to God's original design. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. God's original plan for marriage. We need to get back to God's original plan. Not your plan, my plan, but God's plan for marriage. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, tempting him, saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" There were two schools of thought during that time. There was one school of thought who says, you can divorce your wife for everything. That's the school of Hillel. The school of Shammai says, no, you can divorce your wife only for divorce. Jesus says, no way to both. He says, look, fornication is the only possible reason, but even that is not a good reason. Because God's higher way is reconciliation. But for us to prevent us, maybe I have a show of hands. How many of you know of people who are involved in, or don't have to show your hands? Sometimes it's quite painful. I think all of us would know of people, or even sometimes even close relatives, who has gone through that pain. It's very painful. It's very, very painful. Okay? It's very painful. I'll go through that. I'll show you why. In verse 4, Matthew chapter 19, he answered and said, "Have ye not read that which he had made at the beginning, made he male and female?" Not male and male. God didn't make male and male. God didn't make female and female. So homosexuality, the LGBT, is never part of God's plan. It never was, it never will be. And said, "For this reason, for this cause, shall man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath put on together, let no man put asunder." Number one, he has to be male and female. Children, as you grow up, many of you are going to be influenced by the internet. There are many people today, young people, who grow up because of influencers. Will they begin to hold hands with girls, boys with boys? I don't know, girls always hold, like, hold hands on. Sometimes, right? I don't know. Even though there's nothing, you know, just hold hands. Just friend, you know. Or, you know, some girls are really serious. Hold hands. Boys as well. Worse. You know what? Over time, you say, no, I have a struggle and crisis in my identity. No, you don't. You don't know how to think. That's why you need to go back to God's original plan. Male and female, number one. Number two, leave your dependence on all other human relationships and cling to one another and to God. My wife had to stay with... God wants us to leave emotional dependence on parents, leave financial dependence on parents, leave physical dependence on parents, to leave and to cleave to your husband. Both ways. Because God is setting out a new entity under God, okay? Because you're now one in the sight of God. When you're married, you're one. That's not going to change. That's what God says. Do everything you can to preserve the marriage right now. For those who were married, remember the joy you felt when you first got married? Do everything you can to preserve that. Determine in your heart and mind. That's God's plan. From the time to the time you say, "I do put the ring on," and you may kiss the bride. 5 minutes before, as a pastor, I will advise this. If there is any doubt at all, before you get married, I don't care if 30 seconds before I pronounce you man and wife, say, Pastor, I'm not ready. I'm okay to cancel it. I'm okay to cancel it. You know why? I'd rather you make a kind of foolish mistake in everyone than suffer the rest of your life. I'm serious. There are too many casualties for people. My God sister, married that man. And I still remember me and my wife was at the wedding. I told him outside, you better take care of my God sister. My God sister only had me in this world because my godmother passed away. I told him, you better take care of my God sister. 3 months later, my godmother had lung cancer and all that. And I found out from my godmother, 1 week after they were married, they were divorced. 1 week. And I realized that man was marrying my God sister because he knew my godmother was going to pass away. I thought, why don't you come and call me? It's so painful. It's very painful. What God says, do everything you can to preserve the marriage. For you who are in marriage, very soon you will be the rare things of society. Trust God, stay together. What God put together, let no man put asunder. Let no man. You know what no man means? That includes your boss. That includes your boss who say, I'm sorry, you know, I mean, it's either your career or your family. Which would you choose, man, if you earn what, $1 million a year? Which would you choose, your family or your career? I hope it's always going to be your family. Career can have another one. Family only have one. Don't let your boss get in the way. Don't let your friends get in the way. Don't let things of this world get in the way of your marriage. You know what it is. Okay, firstly, go back to God's order. Number two, seek counsel before marriage. Seek counsel before marriage. The Bible says in Proverbs 11 verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Counsel gives you insight and information and advice as to what you should be doing, where you are headed, and the reasons why you should be doing what you should be doing. To be willing to seek counsel is to be wise. Because I can tell you what, when a person in love, they can't see anything else except the two. Okay, they can't see anything else. The Bible actually says, one of the things that amazed Solomon is the way of a man with a maid. That means, when a man is so in love with this lady, nothing else matters. For you, I'll go to the moon and pluck out the moon for you. You know? But after I get married, I'm sick. Can I have Panadol? You're going to take yourself. Now, before marriage, you can go to the moon and get the moon. But after marriage, Panadol also cannot take. Men, you're laughing. We sometimes say, oh yeah, you can get yourself. Okay. You know? No, we need to preserve that love. When you're so-called in love, you get counsel before. You know why? Because you cannot see clearly before you get married. And Satan is going to make sure you don't see things that you should be seeing and set you on the place of derailment so that after that, you cannot run. That's why many couples, they say the marriage is an institution that those who are outside want to get in and those who are inside want to get out. I hope the second one is not true for many of us. All right? Many who are not married want to get into marriage. You know what Paul says? For the present situation, distress, I would that you will remain as I am. Not married. So you can focus on serving the Lord. Okay? But those who are in, remain in the state. Be thankful. Thank God for it. Do the best you can. Build a family for God. Okay? Seek counsel. I can give you many, many reasons. Based on my years of experience as a pastor, I've been in families, Christian families, serving families, the husband says, I want a divorce. So why? I have to tell him straight in the face, your divorce is not an option. You work it through. You're a Christian. You work it through. As a pastor, I have to tell you, divorce is not an option. If you have burned your bridges, then you'll start working things out. But if you ever entertain that, that's what Satan wants. Number one, you know when God says cleaving to one another is super gluing? So when you get married, me and my wife are super glued. I've decided my wife is the only one on this earth for me. Am I tempted? Yeah, sometimes. But you know what? No one's going to be as beautiful as her. Her hard work, God made her for me. God brought Eve to Adam. Okay? Man, before you got married, you still got choice. Make the biblical choice. So that when you get married, you have no more choice. That's the best. And I say this, man, in your heart and mind, you need to be sure in your heart, your wife is the best for you. There's no one else that can ever come close. And that is so important for us as men to be so convicted in my heart. God, I'm married. You have given me the best for me. And that is so important for you. Seek counsel. Seek counsel. Number three, have the fear of God in your life before and after your marriage. You know one trend I've seen? For couples who do not fear God before they are married, after they are married, they do not fear God. For couples who do not serve God faithfully before they are married, they're not going to serve God faithfully after they are married. For couples who are willing to give up spiritual things for God before marriage, when they get into marriage, it's very easy to give up church service and your own relationship with God. It's so easy. You know why? Before marriage, it's already your habit. It's already your habit. And unless God convicts your heart to change, you are going to bring that problem into your marriage. That's why I've seen so many Christians, after they all say, "Feel serving God," but the moment they get in to this institution, you don't see them anymore. Or they see them on Sundays. They're faithful on Sundays. But they do nothing else for God on the rest of the week. Have the fear of God in your life before and after marriage. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21 says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Marriage is the second most important decision in your life. Marriage is a spiritual decision. Young people, are you listening? Marriage is a spiritual decision. It's a decision you make before God. Not because, oh, the lady, the hair is so nice, you know. And her eyes always sparkle when I look at it. Or the man, wow, he's like a hunk. I know he can just carry me off and throw me out. No, sorry, not throw me out. Okay. Carry me in, and, you know, right into the sunset. Oh, he was so... You know, when you're in that state, whatever other people say, you're not going to listen. Your mind is so captured. Have the fear of God. So when you want to enter into this institute of marriage, it's best to read the manual and follow it fearfully. Where's the manual for marriage? Whatever characteristics you bring into your marriage will be the characteristics that will come out. If it's a characteristic of not walking with God, you're not going to walk with God in your marriage. Brother Johnny, why are you so sure? Because I've been a pastor for many years, I've counseled so many couples, and I realize right now I'm going to change my premarital counseling. I'm going to make sure you're faithful to God first. If you're not faithful to God, there will be a time you'll be tempted to divorce your wife in your marriage. Because when God is number one before you're married, can I share with you my personal testimony? Before I was married, I was taught two things. Divorce is not an option. Number two, your wife is the best. If when you marry your wife, he's the best. When I went to my marriage, these were the two things that anchored me to my marriage. I've got four children that love God. I thank God for that. They're not perfect, neither are we. You put God first, young people. You've grown. I hope you grow to love God with all your heart. Put him first in everything. And when you actually get in there, I'm praying that God will give you a spouse that will love God. You know what? Always look for someone who loves God more than you. Always look for someone who loves God more than you. Someone who is willing to say, "I'm sorry, I cannot come because I need to serve God." You know what? If my wife says that, go. Because if she can love God like that, she's going to love me. Amen. Amen. Not many people are convinced. Amen. And that's something that is real. You know, I've dealt with, if I can tell you so much, there's just so many things that God has allowed me to understand as a pastor of marriage. And it's not easy to be married, amen? Not easy. It's not easy to be married to someone who snores. I do. I have to actively problem solve how to not snore so loud so my wife can at least rest. Hello?
Okay.
Seek counsel. Have the fear of God in your life before and after marriage. Fulfill your roles. Point number four. Fulfill your roles. For the husband, what is your role for your to your wife, towards your wife? For the wives, what is your role towards your husband? Wives, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The principle of submission. I'm not going to submit to him. I'm free, right? Woman's liberation, right? I'm free. What do you mean? I got earning power. I can go and work. No, God says, it's good that you have earning power. You know what you can do? God, I submit to you. If my husband have need, I'm going to support him. Okay? When God did that submission and in charge, by the way, both have responsibilities. Both have to answer to God. Okay, and God wants the family to be a very, very efficient system to show his glory. Husband lead, wife submit, children obey. And everyone work together. The family will be strong for God. What's happening is sometimes the wife wants to lead, husband submit, children don't care. You guys cannot sort out your roles, I do what I want. Wives, fulfill your roles, submit yourself to your husband. What does that mean? It simply means to have a heart that says, I can contribute in terms of opinions into the family. My husband, I'm going to pray that God will lead you. I'm going to trust your leadership. I will submit to you. Husbands, you need to learn to love your wives. You know why you love the wives? To honor her. To really honor her. And that's something as men, because we're so proud, sometimes we just don't want to listen to our wives. Actually, our wives got better ideas than us. Fulfill your roles. Number five, this is so important. Understand that you can never change your husband or your wife. Oh,
God, why?
We can never change our husband and wives. Wife, you can never change your husband. Husband, you can never change your wife. You can't. You know why? You can change his behavior, but you can never change his heart. Only God can. Only God can. But you know what? God did give two promises. Let's turn to, for wives, let's read Jeremiah 13, verse 23-24. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots, then may he also do good. So God is saying, look, the Ethiopian is always dark. You cannot change him to white. The leopard cannot change his spots. The spots will always be there. If you can change the leopard and the Ethiopian skin and spots, then you can change a man. No, you can't. Only God can. All right? But God actually gave wives some hope. Okay? Wives can actually change the husband. How? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Let me just read. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your husband. The word subjection is a military term. As a soldier obeys the commander, that is the type of subjection. Say, yes, sir. I'm not saying, kiss the feet of your husband and all that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, have the heart of submission to your husband, all right? The wives have a heart of submission. That if any obey not the word, if your husband is not a Christian, if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be warned by the behavior, the conversation of your wives. You know what Peter is saying? In those days, the Jewish people, some of the wives became Christians, and the man is still not a Christian. And Peter is challenging the Jewish wives to say, submit to your husband in everything. So that even though they may be rough with you, they cannot reject the fact that you are a wonderful wife. You're a submissive, helpful wife. And it's very hard, unless a person is very violent, and sometimes they do. They're very violent. Do you know what is the passage before 1 Peter chapter 3? If you're there, let me just read that, okay? I'll just turn there and read that to you. Because sometimes the husbands can be very rough with their wives. Violent. But notice what Peter says. Let me just read verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, insulted, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. For by his stripes he has healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, ye wives. And that's an interesting continuation. There is no chapter division, there is no verse division in the Greek New Testament. It was given in the 17th century to help us find the verses. That's all. But when you understand, Peter said, Jesus was punished for our sin, and he was insulted for our sin. He was beaten severely for our sin. In the same way, wives, learn to bear it in subjection to God. That's what Peter is referring to. But Brother Johnny, you don't know what my husband did to me. Yeah, sometimes we husbands have to be careful how we behave towards our wife. But you know what, wives? Okay, let's take the wives first. Your husband has been abusive, and your husband has been not so loving and all that kind of thing. This passage hopefully will build our... See, we are not trusting our husband to change. We are trusting God to change our husband. Big difference. We are not trusting our husband to change. We are trusting God to change our husband. And so in order for God to change our husband, we be in submission to God, obey him for what he tells us to do to your husband, and ask God to change his heart. And God can and will if we are in submission to him. Because if you read the rest of 1 Peter chapter 3, that was what Peter went on to say. In verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You know, Abraham wasn't a good husband in a few situations. You realize that? When he went to another country, he actually was willing to... Basically, he was a coward. And he would... Hey, wife, when you go to this country, the king is going to look at you. You're very pretty. By the way, Sarah was about 70, 80 years old. For a 80-year-old lady... that a king can still say she's pretty, she is quite pretty at 80 years old, that a king would want her. So Abraham said, hey, just tell the king I'm your sister, okay? I'm your brother, okay? And by the way, that's the truth. Sarah is Abraham's half-sister. But what is Sarah really? Abraham's wife. So because of Abraham's cowardly behavior, Sarah was so-called sacrificed to the king, okay? Of course, God protected her. By the way, wives, if you would trust God, God will protect you too. That was what happened to Sarah. God prevented both kings from ever touching Sarah and restored Sarah back to Abraham. And of course, Abraham got a scolding from the people, okay? Now, let's move on. Husbands, how do we change our wives? Actually, wives are quite easy to please. Just love them. Really love them. Really honor them. Really respect them. Just honor them. I know many of the ladies here, I don't believe any of them will go out of way and start a revolt in the family. You know what, husbands? We need to fulfill our role. Husband, love your wives. The word love is unconditional love, as Christ loved the church. The pattern of your love for your wife is the pattern that Jesus loved this church, and he died for everyone. In other words, husband, love your wife to the point that you're willing to say and practically do it, I'm willing to die for you. But until you're willing to bring the cup of water when she's sick, unless you're willing to do household chores when she's sick or whatever she help, she can't do it, she's asking you help, and say, hey, why don't you do it yourself? If you're at a stage whereby you have to argue with her all the time over things that don't really matter? You know, it's something that as husbands we need to learn. God teaches servants leadership in the home, whereby we love our wives, that we are willing to show her what it means to be like Christ. Husbands, you are busy with your work. I wonder how much work you put into your wife. There are many wives who really love God and submissive. I'm thankful for that. If it's a comfort to you, God convicts my heart too. I'm very involved in the ministry. I'll give up this ministry if it means saving my wife. I'm thankful my wife is always with me, so I can continue. The moment my wife says, oh, I can't take it anymore, or she's having medical problems, I'm resigning. I take care of her. Because she's the only one who stood with me, all through. You know, as husbands, you need to realize, when you married your wife gave up everything, you know, everything. It was my wife's dream to go to Switzerland. She had bigger dreams when she saw me. You know, I'm telling you as a pastor, as a husband, when your wife married you, it was a decision she made that would change her life forever. Your husband, if you take your wife for granted, can I say this, even myself included, shame on us. Let's learn to love our wives. Johnny, what do you mean? I don't even know how to cook. That's not the matter. You can buy the vegetables for her, right? You can carry vegetables for her, right? You can do something for her, right? Now, let's face it. I think some of you are smiling. I think you know what I mean. We need to love our wives. That's God's commandment. I remember I just shared with this shameful thing, but I think I just shared with you. I love soccer. Even after I'm married, I love soccer. Those people in NBC always cause me to sin because they always play soccer after church. I'm just joking about this. Cause me to sin. You know, it came to a point that God had to convict my heart. My wife's at home, I'm playing soccer. I just married her. So what? Soccer or wife? Of course, wife. What? I'm going to lead by example, so I gave up soccer. You know? Is it your computer games? Is it your own free time that's important? We need to love our wives. You can't change them except through your love. I just want to touch on one last thing. What if you ever thought of contemplating divorce? Satan will drop that in your mind when things are not going too right. Let me give you a few. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Did you realize that there was one situation whereby there was one man who contemplated divorce? It's none other than Joseph and Mary, the earthly parents of Jesus Christ. And I want to give a few points there. Please take down. For those who are not married, I hope you pay attention to the first 5 points I gave you. You do it with all your heart. I believe all my heart. If you obey God in those things, your marriage next time will be protected. Trusting God in this spirit to help you. By Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, what if I'm contemplating divorce? I'll just read, and then I'll just give you the next 5 minutes to close this, so that give you an idea. What can I do? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this way. This is how Jesus was going to be born. When his mother Mary was espoused to David, they were engaged to be married. In the Jewish culture, if you're engaged to someone, it's as good as you are married. Okay? And so, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, had any physical relationship, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Big problem. I didn't touch her. How come she's got a baby already? Okay? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, what things? When he contemplated divorce. Joseph had to struggle with that. He contemplated divorce. In the Jewish culture, what happened was, remember I told you the kadaba, the Jewish, that upon divorce or death, Joseph could have just put Mary away. But in order for Joseph to put Mary away, listen to this, it must be before three rabbis. You have to state the reason why you are divorcing her, and the divorce letter must be put in the hand of the lady before it can be considered. And the rabbis will investigate to see whether it's true, and the rabbis will formally sign, and the rabbis represented the voice of God on that marriage. You know, for Joseph to do that, number one, it puts Mary to shame, and possibly death by stoning. A tough decision when you ever contemplated divorce with that person. Think on what will happen to that person. You know what Joseph did? Okay, I'll give you these points, okay? These are some things to consider. Number one, you know, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, something, there was a crisis that came into this marriage, right? The crisis was, Mary had a child. Joseph said, where in the world did this child come from? When we read the passage, what do we understand? God has a plan. God has a plan. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through. In every marriage, God has a plan. I want you to listen to this. When you reach the point of contemplating divorce, it is because either you or that husband of yours or the wife of yours has neglected to follow God at some point. And God is using that to call you back to himself. Because none of us are going to go through what Joseph and Mary. Jesus is not going to be born again. He's not going to be born again. But I believe with all my heart, many times a couple have reached that stage, it's because they have neglected your spiritual life before God. And I want us to consider this. Husband and wives, your spiritual life before God is the most important thing that will preserve your marriage till Jesus comes. It's not your money. Many people, unfortunately, I've heard, we are not staying together because of our children. I hope that is not your reason to stay together. You need to... Marriage and family are two different things. Your relationship with your wife is one thing, and then your family is a separate thing. Don't mix it together. Many families or husband and wife concentrate on their children and they neglect their marriage relationship. So when the children grow up and there's something else, 20, 30 years later, there was no relationship to fall back on. In biblical parenting, we'll talk a little bit about that. But I hope you need to be very clear on that. Remember, if you ever contemplate divorce, remember this, God has a plan. It's for you as a Christian to depend on God's plan, number one. Number two, divorce is not an option, it is a sin. That's what I just explained to you. It's not an option. In adultery, sometimes it's so hard, right? You know what? God does permit divorce only on one condition. If you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt your spouse is in adultery, adulteress. If not, you have no reason to divorce. But you know what? Even if that is true, God's righteousness is that you forgive that individual. You forgive that individual. That's higher on God's responsibility. Divorce is not an option. Number three, God made marriage. And if God made marriage, God can make it work. Okay? So many of you got Samsung, right? The smartphone has many authorized dealers. And some of the authorized dealers will use compatible parts, right? And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, right? But really, after a while, what happens? If you really can't get your phones fixed, what do you have to do? Go back to Samsung. Why? Because they have the original parts. When things doesn't work out, remember, God made marriage. And only God can make it work. Psychologists can't make it work. Do you know that psychologists divorce each other too? I thought they were the good ones, you know? Or they know human behavior, no? They divorce. High flyers divorce each other too. CEOs, some CEOs I know, they're separated. Power, money won't keep your marriage together. Talent won't keep, only God can. Only God can. And then three last characteristics of Joseph, which I believe you can use. Number one, look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, number one, being a just man. Being a just man. That has to do with the character of Joseph. Before you get married, make sure you have some character in your life. The word just man has the idea of, as Joseph, who is so loving to Mary, realize, I've got to put away the very person I love. That was his attitude towards that divorce. And in his heart, God says, God, no, I can't do that. Because he was mild, he was gentle to her, he was respectful of her. But then when he thought, if I ever put her through the put her through the divorce courts of the Jewish rabbi, she is going to be ashamed. She may even be put to death. I can't allow that for someone I love. Husbands, you need to have that heart for your wife. Your wife is not perfect. Neither are you, husbands. But when your wife is not perfect, yes, she may have done big boo-boos, and so do you, husbands. I have to always qualify that. You need to be so kind and so loving and so tender in your heart, which I fail many times as a husband. But the Bible says Joseph was a just man. In other words, his heart was so tender towards his wife. How can I ever do this to my Mary? That was his heart. That's the meaning of just. And when he saw that, Mary, that's why he was in crisis. Have some character before you get married. Character of faithfulness, loyalty, justice, God's character in your life. You know, many people getting married, but they don't ever think about character. They just say, oh, this person can earn so much money. Oh, this person is so sweet to me. Oh, this person will sing lovely songs to me. You can sing lovely songs now. 20 years later, you can't sing properly. But you know what? The heart of character will never change. Joseph was a just man. Wives and people who want to get married, and husband and wives. But Brother Johnny, you know, it's so hard. Then build that character, number one. Number two, be compassionate. Notice what? He was a just man and not willing to make her a public example. You know, when Joseph had to condemn, the public example means what? He had to drag Mary to the rabbi court and said, my wife to be is with child. And he has to write the evidence against her. You know what Joseph says? Can't do that. Oh, then he is not a just man. No, he is. You know why? His love. Oh yeah, after you realize after that, he knows the law of God. But you know the difference between a person who is go by the law and go by the spirit? You go by the law, yeah, she has to be put away. But the spiritual part says, I am willing to bear the blame. In order for Joseph to put Mary away, he has to suffer the loss of tens of thousands of dollars in 300 pieces of silver. Because if he's not going to bring it up to the rabbi courts, he's not going to get his money back. Because there's a prenuptial agreement. But you know what Joseph says? My Mary is more important than a few tens of thousands of dollars. Then I'm going to get back. It's okay. He's not willing to make her a public example. Husbands, we need to protect the integrity of our wives. They're not perfect. We need to honor them the way we talk to them. We need to love them. We need to be just. We need to be compassionate. Because Joseph also knew what would happen to Mary said, no, I cannot put her to the law courts. You know what? He did decide something, which shows that he still wants to follow the Mosaic law, was minded to put her away privately. In other words, I'm not going to let her go through all the terrible suffering, but you know what? I cannot sin against God. According to the law of Moses, I will still have to put her away, but I will not put her away in front of rabbis. I will put her away privately so that no one will ever find out. Joseph wasn't a coward. He was someone who knows that God's in charge. God, I'm just going to follow you. You know, when it is believed that in order for Joseph already thought of through all these things already. Remember I was telling you that the divorce can only be final when the divorce letters is in the hand of Mary. Guess what happened? God intervened. When you, by faith in God, and say, Lord, I love my wife, I love my husband, I know he's not perfect, but God, I'm just going to do all I can to protect her, to submit to him, to love her. And Lord, I'm going to do all I can, no matter what cost it is to me. That's when God comes in. That's when God comes in. And that's what happens here. You know, the last point, trust God in your marriage. Trust God. You may go through a tough time. Trust God to take you through. There was one man, I'll just finish with it, there's one man who had a wife who was very, very sick. And this wife just gave it to him left, right, and center every day. Just scolding him. Pain. And, you know, this man, and everyone was surprised he was still with this lady for many, many years. This man was just taking care of the wife, the pain, and always grumbling, throwing things, and just very discontented with everything. The pastor said, oh, how do you do it? He said, two things. Pastor, that kept me humble. Number one, is my covenant with God. My marriage vow. Number two, my covenant with her is till death do us part. When all of society fails, when all your bank account fails, when all situations are against you, the only thing that will hold your marriage together is your covenant with God and your covenant with your wife. I have promised to love you till the day you die. Then and only then, you will not have to consider the D word. If you are not a Christian, you have no strength to do that. Because the moment your wife or your husband does something wrong that irritates you, you will fly off the handle. Only with Jesus Christ in your heart can you fulfill that. It is said, he that wants to put away his wife, let him give him a writing of divorcement. But Jesus said, I say unto you, if you put away your wife, save for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. It's a sin. And I'm praying that none of you will ever have to go through the pain. And the pastor, you know, I've been called up years ago by members. Pastor, I want a divorce. I said, no, divorce is not an option. I hope I will never have to see that. God has spoken. For you who have gone through it, confess your sin before God, get right, and get back to Him, and just love Him with all your heart. You know what? Divorce is not the end of the world. I'm not minimizing it. I'm saying it's very, 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 very painful. My wife went to Guangzhou for 5 days. I miss her so much. We we need to realize God always has the best plan. And when we would listen to God's plan, we will have His best plan in this life. All right, let's close in word of prayer. Lord, I don't want else to say. I just commit what I've said into Your hands, and I pray that all of us, Lord, will understand Your plan. It's a painful thing, Lord, that You have to deal with in the life of the Jewish society. But Lord, it was a truth, because there were so many marriages, wives that hurt, children suffering, and that, Lord, You have to put Your foot down by saying, "But I say unto you." Lord, forgive us that sometimes we think we can make it ourselves. Lord, we really can't. And we want to humble ourselves before You, to come to You to say, "Lord, in my own strength, there is no way, there is no way that I'm going to make it, whether it's in my life as a Christian, my marriage." Heavenly Father, I pray for these dear people, many of them, to Your children. Some of them are married, some of them are planning to be, some of them are going through certain things. Lord, I pray for Your grace and Your strength to understand Your principles, Your will and Your word. And Father, the practical steps that we need to take in order to make things happen. Because Your word teaches that this book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth, but we shall meditate therein day and night, that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that we will have success in our marriage when we will consider Your ways first. With eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask this. If someone said, "Pastor, pray for me. I just want God to strengthen my resolve to love my family." You know, this one goes even for children, that I will learn to love my dad and my mom. Amen. I see that hand already. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Put it up, put it down, and then pray in your heart. I'm thankful husbands are putting up their hand. Anyone else? Just pray and say, "Lord, help me, that I will be an example to my wife, my children, and that my marriage will be strong." Is there someone else? Pastor, pray for me. You can be a young person, not married, but you say, "Lord, Pastor, pray for me." Is there someone else? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for the men who put up their hands. Use them as examples to their families, their children, to love their wives, to love the children, to work hard, both in this world, to supply the needs of the family, and also in the kingdom of God. That the children might always see, Lord, there is a priority of work in this world, but a higher priority of service to You. Heavenly Father, I pray that all our children will grow up with the understanding that, Lord, You hate putting away. It's the death to You part, to the couple's part. That, Lord, we are never to have an intention of putting things apart if that's not Your will. And we can see from the scriptures it's not. But Lord, I pray that You preserve every family from the sin of fornication, adultery, and give us grace to overcome. I know sometimes personalities can clash, expectations can be unmet. Sometimes, Lord, our own will can get in the way, our own pride. Humble us, Lord, so that we can learn to love one another as You've loved us. Heavenly Father, thank You. I thank You for those who have heard and taken all these things to heart. I'm praying that, Lord, Your blessings will be upon every family as they walk out of this church, Lord, this building. They will go home with a love that the Holy Spirit has given for their loved ones, for their family. To love one another, to love the husband and love the wife and the children. In this world that thinks love is just sleeping together, love is just giving things, love is just, Lord, to really give as You have given to us sacrificially. And I pray for every husband and wife that You bind them closely, Lord, together. If there's any differences, conflict, put it away, Lord. Help them to do that. For every child to love their parents. Or they can have many, many adults as friends, but they can only have one set of parents, Lord. And help the children to love the parents with all their hearts. I pray for someone here who's a Christian, but Lord, their families are not here. I pray that their life will represent Christ so much that their unsaved families will want Christ as well. So Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the day. I pray for Brother Song Ling, Sister Agnes. Mind them closely, even as you've given them a child. That this child will grow up, Lord, to love you, recognize that she's a sinner, needing a Savior, and then live for you. Sister Agnes, as she has to go through some of this, trials of afterbirth, help her to recover adequately, to get back to the functions of life, and Brother Song Ling as well. Pray also, Lord, Sister little Emma, who is sick with fever, raise her up quickly. Your Sister Jamie, as she struggles with parenting by herself right now. I pray for Brother Desmond that, Lord, please bring him back. Thank you for what you're going to do. Strengthen us, Lord, in your word, in prayer, and also for the VBS meeting to follow. I pray that we have a heart to serve you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.